third hour on this Monday afternoon. Hope everybody's having a good start to your week and a good day thus far. Beautiful day here in Middle Tennessee. Ole Miss and Texas A&M postponed already. Starting off on Monday morning. It was in the morning hours. Already a postponement this week. As we had four last week, that was supposed to be the CBS game, the Lane Train. But it is not going to happen as A&M continues to have COVID issues. And so no Aggies and Rebels this week. We'll see if anything else gets postponed. Hopefully not. Fingers crossed. Let's go to Knoxville. Sports Animal, WNML. That's where our own Vince Ferrara is standing by. At Vince Sports on Twitter. Give him a follow. It's free and easy to do. Vince, how you doing? How was your weekend?
Good, gentlemen. It was good. Like you said, good weather overall. A little cool in the morning, but, man, everything is good. Tried to be productive. And even though we didn't have a lot of SEC football with those cancellations you talked about, man, how about 272 combined points in those three games? The three teams that lost all scored 35 or more. I mean, it was ridiculous. It was Big 12-esque.
I know Justin Fields and Ohio State didn't play this past weekend. They've got very few games, so I don't even know if it's really even fair to throw him in there other than we just know his body of work. And Trevor Lawrence, who, again, has missed the last two games for Clemson, but we know his body of work, too. I mean, Kyle Trask has got to be right in the thick of that, of the Heisman race, right? He's got to be. He is so impressive.
100%. You know, and just when you see the analyst breaking down his understanding of what he's seeing and the adjustments he's making, it's, you know, it's not Joe Burrow because that was historic great. But it's impressive for a guy that didn't start in high school. You got to give Florida credit for identifying that kid, and they didn't pick him first. And, you know, just like Burrow, kind of took him a while, but then he jumped on his opportunity last year when Franks went down, and, man, he gets it. And he's got a lot of weapons. I thought you'd see a little bit of a drop-off without Kyle Pitts. But, man, they still can go all different directions. Guys get open. And, you know, for Florida used to get criticized so much for, you know, they can never have good receivers and all this. Trask has all kinds of time, and he's got all kinds of receivers and tight ends running open. And they are elite at a lot of positions. And, man, I think even though I didn't think so going into the year, they clearly, and what they did to Georgia and what they continue to do, they're not great on defense, but today's college football, you don't need to. Here's what you need. You need elite offense, and you need at least some dudes on defense to make an occasional stop when you need it. That was LSU last year. That is the new recipe in college football. Forget this defense wins championship stuff. That is gone and flown away with the birds. It is about having an elite offense, a great quarterback, explosive offense, and enough dudes. You still got to recruit them to where you can make occasional stops or some enough stops to win ball games. And Florida's got a lot of those characteristics. And you're right, Trask. Absolutely in the Heisman race.
And how do the Vols stack up in that category, elite offense?
Well, I mean, you can't put elite next to anything with them right now. I mean, that's just the way it is.
I know. So, this is about okay. So I was obviously just saying that kind of tongue in cheek. We all knew that answer. It was ask answer.
Right.
This is going the wrong direction for Jeremy Pruitt, and the hole just seems to keep getting deeper. And deeper. And the story that we talked about on Friday with Blake Topmeyer from Knoxville News Sentinel, I just want to know, let's just start with the reaction in your market. One, there was no game to react to, but Tennessee's lost four in a row. And now there's a story coming out, albeit with Jeremy Pruitt holding off on his raise this year, even though he got the contract extension, which is well documented, and we've talked about on this show a lot. Contract extension and a raise starting next year. Didn't take a raise this year. 8 of his coaches refused a pay cut during a pandemic. Not a good look for the university. Not a good look for the football program. Not a good look for those 8 coaches, especially since T. Martin and Jay Graham did take pay cuts. What's been the reaction?
Well, it's a pile-on situation. It just adds to it. It adds to the frustration that's already been there. And more people are hopping off of that bandwagon and hearing things like this. It's a red flag. It calls into question what is going on inside those walls and what's the connection between the coaches and the head coach. You know, Blake Topmeyer today did ask Pruitt-Gunner's press conference, is passing on a raise this year, is that enough considering all those that are taking pay cuts and within the department and the financial struggles? And, you know, he talked about other things that he didn't really directly answer yes or no. But it calls into question a lot of things. What is that a reflection on these coaches anticipating getting fired? I mean, that's you know, an easy to conclude, hypothetical. Absolutely, they could think that. Some guys are coming towards the end of their contract. I think 3 of them will have their contracts over at the end of this year. And then, you know, others make a lot of money, like Jim Chaney. So you have to wonder why. For what, you know, I think that it's a grand total of $300,000 that we're talking about that could have helped the university. And, you know, you average that out, $35,000 or something like
that. That's a lot of employees that you could keep.
Yeah, right. I mean, $35,000, there's probably saved some jobs.
Yeah.
You know. So then you wonder, all right, are they thinking, well, I don't want to give, you know, why am I going to give money back if I feel like I'm going to get fired? Especially because they fired one assistant coach after 4 games. And so the money that they're trying to save by asking the coaches for pay cuts is 1.3 right now. It would have been 1.6. But guess who they're having to pay already for not coaching? And that's D-line coach Jimmy Brumbaugh. So now you're talking about his buyout, and then you're going to have to hire somebody else to replace him. So there's a good chunk of that money already gone because you, the head coach, made a coaching change to your staff. So, you know, assistant coaches are probably, you know, looking at it, that, like, why, you know, why are we giving money back for – you know, Brumbaugh's, buyout and replacing him or whatever. We don't know the exact reasons, but one thing that Jeremy Pruitt did, to his credit, he talked about this right out of the jump today in his press conference. He addressed it. He said the story was factual, which I thought was very, very interesting. And a lot of coaches will just say, no, it's BS and all this, regardless of whether it's true or not. They just play that card. And he also said, reiterated a couple of times, that the final story on this is not told, that it's fluid. So that can mean a couple of things. One is that those coaches said, not right now, but maybe we can figure something out at the end of the year when I make sure that I'm not getting fired, where I could give money back at the end of the year. So maybe there's other circumstances that weren't given and didn't come out. That's one. Two, because of the criticism that they're all taking,
yep,
they
bingo.
May now be reconsidering
bingo.
Giving money back and then saying, hey, let's figure this out. I think the damage is already done. And I think, unfortunately for Pruitt, it does call into question what kind of camaraderie they have in their belief in their leader, their head coach, with them deciding that they weren't going to take those pay cuts.
Well, I'm curious, too, about how T. Martin – and Jay Graham, two guys, storied members, players for the program. I would love to know why they decided to make the sacrifice. I'm sure – I don't know if that was addressed or not, Vince. What do you think?
No, well, they're a little bit different. I think T. Martin's was more than Graham and what he agreed to. Graham's was a little bit more of a smaller one, and I think there was a little bit of a wait and see, but at least he agreed to some of it. And that's what's a little bit head-scratching. From those coaches' standpoint, you know that this is going to come out. Why won't you, even if you didn't agree with what the university wants you for pay cuts, say, okay, well, let's do this instead, so you're not included in a story that makes it seem like you are not, you know, it comes across as tone deaf. I mean, this is happening across the country. Almost everybody is impacted in some way. You should not feel like, hey, I didn't do anything wrong. It's just the circumstances. And I think the way it looks, Willie, is those are two VFLs. Those are two guys that are invested in their lifetime in the university, while the others don't have a connection to the university. And I think that's a clear separation that the fans see and point to, like, well, Pruitt's not from here, and he's brought all these other guys from Bama and everywhere else. They don't care about Tennessee. The two Tennessee guys gave money back. So it does paint that picture, whether it's accurate or not, that it's just the guys that are UT and guys that are not.
I also think there's a difference, Vince, in the level of assistant. Like, we know it's a well-told story that the offensive coordinator is the highest paid guy. We know offensive coordinators get paid a lot. I don't know all the salaries of the lower guys, but I do think it is a little different to ask a coordinator as opposed to a lower level assistant who probably makes pretty good money compared to a lot of people. But I can understand why maybe there might be some hesitancy for a position coach or a newer coach as opposed to a very well-paid coordinator.
Yeah, and some of these guys have not been doing it for an extended period of time. You know, they're as far as on-field assistant coaches, I mean, this is we talked about all the changes to Pruitt's staff, and there's a lot of new on the staff. You know, one of them is the strength and conditioning coach, and A.J. Artis, who took over for Craig Fitzgerald, who went to the Giants. And Joe Osovet, who's coaching the tight ends, is his first on-field coach. He's been a junior college head coach, and he was an off-the-field analyst last year. So there's a lot of new on the staff guys that haven't been doing it for an extended period of time. And that's why you wonder why Jim Chaney wouldn't do it. I mean, he said he loves Knoxville, wanted to come back, wanted this to be his last gig, all that. And he's made a lot of money for a long period of time. He's one of the highest paid OCs as well. So that one doesn't make as much sense as the other one. But still, you know, a lot of people have been asked to give money back or furloughed or whatever. I just think I'm surprised that they would take this direction and do it. As Blake pointed out in the story, I guess it's happened at Oklahoma State that we know about as well. But there's not much excuse for anybody.
So, Vince, let's look ahead. They weren't able to play the game against Texas A&M. We already know Texas A&M will not play this weekend. Some pretty big issues there. But just not having a game, how does that factor or not factor to the quarterback situation we have been talking about now for a couple of weeks?
Well, Jeremy Pruitt, first, when he was asked about the quarterbacks, talked about Harrison Bailey, Brian Maurer, and JT Shrout, and thought they all got opportunities in practice last week, and Bailey showed more command in practice and just understanding what he's doing. He was asked about Garantano. He said Garantano practiced yesterday and practiced well, he thought. But then he kind of went back to the young guys and saying that there's more, there's more confidence that those guys have. So I wonder if, reading between the lines, it makes you think that maybe they are going to go with Bailey or one of those other guys. I honestly can't see them going Maurer or Shrout. We've had that discussion before. But I wonder if that's because he's always gone back to Garantano quick when the quarterback discussion has been there. He wouldn't commit to a start or anything, but maybe they do feel like Bailey has gotten a grasp and understanding of what is required of him in a Jim Chaney offense, that maybe that's the direction they go. We'll see. I, I, just reading between the lines, I got the sense that maybe that's more of a conversation. But then when you're splitting reps during the week, you don't get guys as ready. And, you know, I don't understand if you're going to go Bailey, why you just don't give him the first team reps for 2 weeks and just do it rather than, well, we'll see how the week of practice goes, which they're going to do it. They did last week. They're going to do it again this week. And I don't know if you fully prepare your guy is best possible in that situation.
We're talking to Vince Ferrara, 99.1, the Sports Animal up in Knoxville, joins us every Monday. And with four games left, Auburn this weekend, they've announced the start time for Vanderbilt the following weekend, 7:30 Eastern time on the SEC Network alternate channel. So they have that on the alternate. I look at these four games, and to be honest with you, I see one win, and that's against Vanderbilt, and I'll even say Vandy has improved the last few weeks, and so I don't think you can necessarily even hand that one to Tennessee. So what, in your mind, can change, whether it's this week against Auburn or next week against Vandy, to make you think, all right, maybe they pull one out of the hat somewhere?
Well, Chase, let's be honest. The only two on the board, as we know this team right now, are those two games, and they'd really need a whole lot of help from Auburn if you're going to pull that off. And if they do, then I think that clearly changes the conversation in your thought process on the rest of the games. And then we don't know what, you know, with COVID, you know, and all that, or rescheduling of games as well, based on the division races with the SEC's flexible schedule, how that might maneuver things. Clearly, pushing Texas A&M back was a positive for Tennessee to give them a chance to continue to try to figure things out. And, you know, I almost texted you guys this weekend, all of you, because we had this the Vandy conversation. And, look, Tennessee should still beat Vanderbilt. There's no doubt. However, I don't think that's a no can do for Tennessee, that they can't lose that game. Vandy put up 35 on Kentucky when Tennessee couldn't do anything against Kentucky. And Vanderbilt is starting to get the offense going a little bit. We mentioned all the points. Tennessee's got to show that in this offensive league right now that they can score some also. This Auburn game will tell us a lot. If they don't look competitive, then Vandy's on the table for a loss, and they'll probably lose out. If they get blasted against Auburn and you see no improvement over another open week, then there's deeper problems. But if they're competitive, and even if they lose, you know, then you give them Vandy, and then not a great shot for the other two. But again, we got to see how they come out of this open week.
I want to get your thoughts on a non-Tennessee question, but will Muschamp let go in South Carolina? One, who would you think could be a front runner for that job? And two, while I think his head coaching days are probably done, I feel like he would be sought after as a defensive coordinator. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah, I would. In today's climate, I don't know that he's going to be able to command the money. I don't know that that money is going to get thrown around for coordinators, at least in the short term. But yes, he will be sought after. And if he's willing to, you know, not be the highest paid defensive coordinator in the country, yeah, I do think so. I wasn't surprised, honestly, that Muschamp got the plug pulled from him. I wrote in my blog that this was a very important game for Muschamp. If you're South Carolina and you feel like you should not be at the bottom of the league, you can't lose another game to one of the bottom half teams, even though the Lane Train's got things humming on offense for sure. And I think you're going in the right direction. They're still not there and they can't stop anybody. And you still couldn't win that game. I just thought with all the pressure there, I think his buyout was $13 million. You know, and of course Tennessee fans are pointing to that, saying, okay, they're willing, they got the same pandemic and financial issues, if they're going to suck it up, then why can't Tennessee to move on and get a coach? And so that added to the, you know, rush to Hugh Freeze. I don't, you know, a few freezes where everybody's going. I have a feeling South Carolina will make a change, but go to a younger coach, maybe a Coastal Carolina's coach or maybe a first time head coach. I think from when you're considering finances and you're already paying that big buyout, you want to make a change to shake things up, but I don't know that they're going to go the big name route. Could be wrong, but I think that's kind of more the direction that they would go. And that's one that I, you know, doing it now, you're trying to shake things up for the season. I don't know if it's a race to hire a coach now. I still think that's an off season type of thing. I don't know if it gives South Carolina any sort of big advantage over anyone else that might make a coaching change.
Really appreciate it. How do you see Saturday playing out?
I don't know what the spread is, 12.5, 13.
It's double digits, like yeah.
Yeah, I would still lean towards Auburn's side of it, maybe a 14-17 point win. I think Tennessee will do some things, maybe a little bit better, but in the end, they still have defensive issues in addition to the offense, like we talk about. I just don't think they have enough roster answers right now, and it makes you call in the question, these past couple of classes as well, because you don't see a ton of development from the Pruitt guys. The development we saw last year was a lot of the Butch guys, and there's fewer of those Butch guys now. Something's got to turn around, whether it's quarterback or something on defense. I still think they're not going to have enough answers, and I would expect Auburn to win by a few touchdowns.
Really appreciate it as always. Have a great week, and be curious to see what we're talking about next week. Is it 5 in a row, or do they come up with a big win? I don't know.
Yeah.
Time will tell.
No doubt, and look forward to seeing you guys in Nashville. I'll be going to the Vanderbilt game after that, so hopefully we'll see you guys then.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you, Vince.
All right, appreciate it, guys. Have a great week.
Vince Ferrara at Vince Sports at Twitter, Sports Animal WNML there in Knoxville. We'll come back on the other side. Plenty more to get back into, but right now Chase is going to tell you about his winning weekend.
Oh, and what a weekend it was, and it all happened on BetMGM. I've been telling you about them for a few weeks now, and if you followed me on Twitter, you know that I had a good weekend. You can do that too. It is that simple. You just have to sign up. You have to download the app. And there's never been a better time to find out why BetMGM Sports is the king of sportsbooks. Right now, new customers have a chance to win $100 in free bets when they place a $1 money line wager on the Vikings or the Bears. And if either team scores a touchdown, you win. All you have to do is use the bonus code 1025GAME100 when you make your first bet to take advantage of this offer. So they're giving you a bonus. Just use that code 1025GAME100. If you're ready to start betting with confidence and turning big plays into paydays, like I did, then sign up today and discover BetMGM's innovative parlay selection tools, boosted odds specials, daily promotions, and much more. Download the app today or go to BetMGM.com and use bonus code 1025GAME100 to win $100 in free bets when you wager $1 on the Vikings or the Bears to score a touchdown. It's that simple, and it's always showtime at BetMGM Sports. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. You must be 21 years or older, must be present in Tennessee. For gambling problem support, call the Tennessee Red Line at 800-889-9789.
Listen up, everybody. I've got a very important announcement to make. Very important. Cannonball! No, that's not what I was going to say. For the first time ever, Nashville will host an MLS playoff game. How about that? This Friday, Nashville SC will take on face Inter Miami. Is it CF, right? They're CF,
yes.
Not FC.
Yes.
I don't really understand all that. CF at Nissan Stadium. It'll be an 8 o'clock start for the Eastern Conference play-in match. Catch all the action right here on 94.9, starting with pregame coverage at 7:45. How about that? First ever MLS playoff game. I saw where some awards were doled out in the MLS. I saw Nashville SC had their own awards, but in the league, I think Walker Zimmerman was up for Defenseman of the Year, was he not?
He was. Yep. I haven't seen the results yet, so you're
yeah. I don't know if that's I don't know if that's out there.
No.
I don't believe that's out. I think they've just put the nominations, right?
Yeah, those came out last week, the nominations. And, of course, Gary Smith up for Coach of the Year. And a lot of people.
That's really cool.
Yeah, a lot of people around soccer circles feel like he's got a pretty good chance of winning it. Bruce Arena is another one that it was a name people might know from his time with U.S. soccer. But Gary Smith has the fact that he's won an MLS Cup before. In Colorado, left, went to the USL, helped build this team from scratch, and now he's back, and he's got his team as an expansion franchise in the playoffs in their first year. It's pretty darn cool, and been an awesome job that he's done. So,
looks like that is, from what I can tell, the only two that Nashville FC is up. Defender of the Year, as I mentioned. Walker Zimmerman is a finalist of three. There's a guy from Philadelphia and a guy from Columbus, so he'll be going up there. And then, as you mentioned, Coach of the Year, which I think Kerry Smith really has a real shot, as you mentioned. I was trying to see when this will be announced. I don't see when they're saying it's going to be announced, the winners. But nonetheless,
yeah,
really cool. Really, I mean, what a first year, right?
Oh, it's been
what a first year.
I mean, it's obviously been crazy with, you know, obviously all that's gone on in our world, but the fact that they, you know, had such a record turnout for their first game, played another game on the road, paused, had an outbreak of their own, missed the MLS's back tournament, and then once they restarted play, I mean, they've been able to gather enough points, get into the playoffs, make some pretty big deals to acquire some players that not only will help them now, but especially in the future. Jandre Cadiz being one of them. I think it's been fun to watch. And, you know, it's not just Gary Smith. Mike Jacobs, the GM, has done a tremendous job putting it all together. And so it's been cool to be able to watch it and be a part of it.
Speaking of big deals, before we get back into the Titans matchup, on Sunday against the Ravens, looks like there's a big deal brewing in the NBA that's going to send Chris Paul yet packing again. Doesn't you know? You guys know how
year.
I feel about this. It to me, it always says something about players whenever they're, especially they're really good, and yet they change locations all the time. I always, you know, what is it about Chris Paul that teams are ready to move on from him all the time? He's been traded a lot
in
his career.
It's been circumstances. Each time.
I don't.
Contractual.
Yeah.
Well, in a lot of cases.
Yeah, but okay, contractually, you could say he's way overpaid. Then why do teams keep signing up for his services, and why do other teams keep wanting to get rid of him?
Well, it's different reasons each time. Now he's at the stage of his career that he's still a great competitor, an excellent player, but just not worth the money he's being paid. And before, when it all started, they knew they were going to lose him, right? His team knew that they were going to lose him, so they had to trade him. It was one of those deals. They were held hostage. They knew it was either trade him or get nothing for him. So I don't know.
I think that's a little simplistic. I think there's something about Chris Paul that has him on the move all the time.
I don't see that.
The Thunder tried to do it. Before, like when they traded Westbrook to Houston, they tried to get rid of Chris Paul before the season started, but no one would take on that contract because he kind of had a rough year and couldn't stay healthy in Houston. But he was all NBA this year, so getting rid of him was a little bit easier to do. But I think this is just an OKC thing where they've been trying to get rid of him in that contract because they're, I don't want to say in tank mode, but they're kind of blowing it up. They have 17, after this trade, they'll have 17 first-round draft picks over the next 6 years.
Wow.
17.
Holy cow.
It's a lot. That's like half the players picked.
Yep. That is some real pressure.
We only
have
two rounds in the draft.
I was going to say, that's some real pressure on their GM to get it right.
I have it pulled up. So this year they have the Nuggets first-round pick, the Lakers first-round pick. In 2021, they have their own first, Miami's first, a Houston pick swap. 2022, they'll have their own first, the Clippers first, and the Suns first-round pick. 2023, they'll have their own first, a Clippers pick swap, the Heat's first-round pick. 2024, it's their own first, Clippers first round, Rockets first round. And in 2026, they'll have their own first round, Clippers first round, and Houston's first round.
Wow. And they parted way, well, I guess, did they part ways with Billy Donovan or mutually agree or what? Whatever it was? He's with the Bulls now. So, I mean, they're completely starting over.
Oh, yeah. They're going to be bottom feeders for a bit.
But with all those first round picks, I mean, you hope you can.
Well, what does Chris Paul do for the Suns?
It gives them a veteran.
I honestly scratch them off the list.
I'm coming at it from afar, just like you are. I have only seen a tremendous competitor who will do anything to win. I don't see a me first guy. I think he is a heck of a player. I'm a Chris Paul fan.
I
think the contractual stuff is why he's been moved.
I have no insight. I'm just look. People that are great to deal with, great human beings, great locker room guys, great teammates, great players, typically don't get moved around year to year. That's just
like LeBron,
not how it works.
LeBron's gotten moved around a lot. There's
LeBron
the NBA.
First of all, LeBron doesn't get moved around. LeBron moves around. That's his doing.
But the NBA.
It's not the team's doing.
The contracts and the star players and the players' desire to move to get to a advantageous team.
That's a totally different. You're going down a totally different
path. But Chris Paul's got some of that.
This is the team going, we want him out. We're trading him.
Because
it's not Chris Paul.
He's older and he makes so much money now. That's pretty simple to see. Have you ever heard anybody say bad things about Chris Paul?
I haven't.
It's not like I talk to people in Chris Paul circles.
I'm just saying.
I don't talk
to people that
have been around him,
but
so I don't
you
know.
You cover sports. Have you ever heard anything bad about Chris Paul?
Well, I mean, give me an example of great player that gets traded all the time. Give me in any sport. I mean, can you give me one?
I mean, sure there are plenty.
James Neal is one that comes to mind that we've talked about before. That has moved around quite a bit.
David Cohn got traded a bunch of times.
James Neal fits into that category?
I wouldn't really. Choosing my words carefully here. But he's a guy that's moved around quite a bit, and he's somebody you brought up.
Okay, and what has been said what has been said about him behind the scenes? That category that I just put out there?
Shaq's in that category. Or was toward the end of his career.
Was he great? Did we have any issues with him? No. I mean, he was fine with us. But, I mean, let's not paint the picture that James Neal was rosy behind the scenes for everybody at every stop. I mean, come on. That's not a very good – that to me is not the example. Willie is painting the picture. Chris Paul's great, great guy.
Well,
and he just gets moved.
I just gave you one, David Cohn. Played for a lot of different teams, got traded a bunch of times. There were circumstances, contractual, trade deadline, pending free agent. There are just some guys it happens to.
How many times did he get traded? I mean, how many teams, different teams was he on?
Well, David Cohn.
Royals, Yankees.
No, he came up with the Royals and got traded to the Mets. Then got traded from the Mets to the Blue Jays. Then he left the Blue Jays and signed with the Royals, got traded from the Royals to the Yankees. That's a lot. So twice he was traded at the deadline as a hired gun for a stretch run. That made perfect sense to do that. So I just think sometimes there are circumstances. It's not that the guy's a bad guy.
Put Shaq in that too. Shaq got traded like 3 or 4 times. Of course, now his production was way down.
Shaq
what
at the
was.
End, it was just
This is Chris Paul at the end.
I think Shaq is a good example though of because Orlando, I think that was more money goes to
right.
LA.
He left them high and dry because he didn't want to stay in Orlando. So
right.
Chris Paul's team was New Orleans, right? I'm getting the franchises all mixed up, but he was New Orleans, right?
Yes.
Yep.
And they knew he wasn't going to stay,
no,
so they traded.
He wanted out.
Right.
He demanded he wanted
just like
out.
Just like Shaq. He didn't want to stay.
Yes, he did.
So the Magic got nothing for Shaq, which was dumb. If they'd have known that, or if they had communicated better, they at least could have tried to trade him. They communicated that to New Orleans, and New Orleans traded him.
Right.
It was either that or lose him.
And then L.A. That happens to a lot of people. It was an ego, a power struggle between him and Kobe. So yep. They had no choice because it was one or the other. They could not coexist.
Who, Shaq and Kobe?
Yeah.
Well, they won 3 championships.
They did, but
they couldn't coexist. Why did they leave? Why did he leave L.A.? Because they couldn't coexist anymore.
They won three titles.
Right.
Yeah, I understand that, Willie. Do you not know the storyline with Shaq and Kobe?
Obviously, but they won 3 titles.
What does that have to do with what I'm talking about?
Shaq was getting older.
You're saying they couldn't coexist anymore, so they had no choice.
You made a blanket statement that basically every guy who gets traded a bunch of times must be a bad guy.
I'm telling you
there are circumstances with all this stuff.
I always wonder why. That's all.
Right.
Well, I think sometimes
but
it really is.
You're implying that it's a bad guy. You're implying that there must be a bad guy. Did I say anybody bad guy?
It could be maybe he's difficult to deal with.
Yes.
Maybe there's something behind the scenes we don't know.
You implied. You're making a blanket statement. It's not true. It's just not true.
And I don't know. And you don't know that either. I don't know and you don't know. You have no idea what Chris Paul
is. Right, but
like.
You brought it up.
None.
I didn't bring it up.
True. But there's nothing in Chris Paul's background. I don't know.
There's nothing
in
Chris Paul's background that suggests he's some kind of malcontent. But there's pretty simple, obvious stuff with his contract at this stage of his career that he's getting a huge amount of money, and he's not the same player he was 3, 4, 5 years ago. That's pretty easy to see from afar.
He's way overpaid, like 40-something million a year.
And he's not the only guy that's done that in the NBA. They get these massive contracts.
Michael from Hendersonville on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, goes, DeAndre Hopkins with a smiley face.
Yeah, and that GM is fired.
In fact, after yesterday's catch, they actually rehired Bill O'Brien just so they could fire him again for making that trade.
I said earlier today that I think everybody in Houston, when that play happened, went, I hope Bill O'Brien was watching, and that's why you don't have a job. And you know that today in Houston, they are talking about that.
The Hail Murray.
There is no doubt in Houston today, they're going, and Bill O'Brien, that's why you don't have a job right now.
Oh, no doubt.
And do we think Bill O'Brien is going to get another head coaching job?
I could almost see it being in college.
There's a reason why I'm asking. And we can talk about this on the other side.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good conversation.
I don't think you know where I'm going with this, but if the answer is no, I will come back with something and say, well, what do you think about this? And to end the Chris Paul, because I think that's probably as much Chris Paul discussion as we need on this show in this market, Willie, I don't have a clue. And maybe that is the case. It's just I'm just saying I think a lot of times – not all the time. A lot of times there's a reason that happens. There's a reason why a coach or a player has short shelf lives. Every time? No. There's no way it's every time. But I think the majority of the time, it's usually because there's something we don't know. There's something behind the scenes that person may be difficult to deal with, or there's something about that person that has organizations wanting to move on from them. Is that the case with Chris Paul? I have no idea, and maybe you're spot on. Maybe he is
an angel. Because he makes $40 million a year.
Maybe he's
at his
an
age.
Angel, and maybe that is the case. But like I said, that's enough Chris Paul talk in this market for a day.
Okay,
we'll come
enough.
Back. You guys think about it. Will Bill O'Brien get hired next season as a head coach somewhere? And if your answer is no.
In the NFL.
In the NFL, will you consider this? No, will he be a head coach? I don't care, NFL or college. Maybe he goes back to the college game.
Okay.
Will he be a head coach next year? And if your answer is no, what do you think about this? We'll do that to close out the third hour of Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Okay, we've talked about what could possibly happen with maybe Arthur Smith. I think he's going to be probably a hot candidate, no matter what happens, right? Do we not agree that he could be a very hot candidate? There's going to be a lot of
openings. Could be. I don't know, no matter what happens, if the Titans end up 8-8 and don't make the playoffs, I don't think he's a hot candidate.
Did they – were they – I know they were 9-7. Were they – was that the year they went to the – because it's hard to keep up with them. Go 9-7, they go to the playoffs. Go 9-7, don't go to the playoffs. Go 9-7, go to the playoffs. Was the 9-7 year
missed
he
the
was
playoffs.
The OC?
They
was
missed
that,
the playoffs.
Okay, and he got
Matt
hired
LaFleur.
As – He got hired, yeah, Matt LaFleur got hired as the Packers coach. So you could say was it a deterrent for Matt LaFleur because they
record
went 9-7?
Record doesn't show everything.
Yep. So he got hired as the Packers coach, and he's done pretty well. So let's just start there. So do we all agree that Arthur Smith could be on the move after this year?
Could be.
Would you say better than 50-50?
Right now, yeah.
I would say below 50-50.
You think below 50-50? Okay. I would go over. 50-50.
I would say between, you know, I'd say maybe 40%. I'd say 60-40 he stays, but we got to see what happens.
I say 60-40 he goes.
That's kind of where I am. I'm kind of in the 60-40 that he's going to get an opportunity. And I think he's going to be sought after. There's going to be a lot of openings.
And for context, you know, Bieniemy is going to probably be a name that's mentioned. I would say Greg Roman could be another coordinator that's mentioned as a head coach. I would say Jim Harbaugh's name will probably be out there of going back to the NFL if he leaves Michigan or gets fired or what have you. So those are kind of some names that I think could potentially fill some of these openings.
Okay, so we're a little house divided. I thought we would all three be, even if it was 55-45, that would be greater than 50. But Willie says a little bit under 50-50 for Arthur Smith. So there could be an opening there.
And I know where you're going with this, by the way.
And I think it's pretty clear no matter what happens, right? Like, this experiment this year has not worked, right? The whoever is – not naming a defensive coordinator, is it, you know, Mike Vrabel, is it Shane Bone, whatever this has been this season, this has not worked. They will have to change course in the offseason. Agree or disagree?
I agree. I just hope that they agree.
As we sit here today, if it stays anywhere close to this track, they're not going to have a choice.
Yeah. They gotta get a coordinator.
So if we're going, what's our percentage right now? I gotta say it's at least 75%, 66-75%, 2/3 to 3/4 chance they've got to make a change.
So you think there's things the rest of the way they could do on defense that could change where they would just remain status quo?
Yes, or elevate Shane Bowen to the title.
I don't believe there's anything they can do that will change that stat. I think they have to. They will have to address that in the offseason.
Right. Well,
and I'm not saying they're going to get Dean Pease to come back.
Are you including Shane Bowen just gets the title in that?
I just kind of feel like they are in need of a seasoned guy. And that's where I'm going with this. A guy like Bill O'Brien, who is a seasoned guy, maybe is not lovable and warm and fuzzy and not great to deal with. But if he's not the head coach – if Mike Vrabel is
not making trades,
if he's looking for, and he's right, nowhere near the general manager.
Don't let him near the GM's office. Is that what you're saying?
They may
give him an office on the other side.
I would say an office downstairs, and he doesn't have access to upstairs of the facility.
This is
the key card can be changed.
Yes,
that he does not have the access there.
His fob does not allow him to go.
John Robinson.
Yes, right. That when he gets hired, he does not see John Robinson again. He's not allowed to talk to the general manager, not allowed to talk to anybody with the front office.
Vin Marino, none of those guys.
But would it be smart for Mike Vrabel to get a guy like Bill O'Brien as the OC if you lose Arthur Smith, and a guy like that on the other side of the ball? I think he needs to go more seasoned. Guys that have been there, done it. Guys that understand, because look, the last two prior to this, think about it. And I'm not saying you have to get a guy that's got 50, 60 years in the league. But Dean Pease and Dick LeBeau did have like 50 years in the league. You don't have to get that guy because those guys are few and far between. But a more seasoned.
Okay. Let me throw it out another name.
Do you guys agree with that?
I think it's a good theory. So let me throw out another name. Is Romeo Crennel in that? Which we heard a lot last year, right?
Yeah.
He chose not to. Do you think he goes reconsiders?
So this is what I'll say to both of those.
Okay.
I like where your head's at, getting experience, and we've had our arguments over Bill O'Brien. I do believe.
Wouldn't that be great if he was here as a coach?
It'd
be fantastic.
It'd be great fodder for the show. I think that Mike Vrabel needs to get out of this hanging out with his friends business.
But that's what coaches do.
I know.
There's
but
most of them do that, though.
They do, but the really good ones also will bring in some new blood, too. Now, I know that, Belichick has been loyal and had a lot of the – as there was just a huge crash in my office.
Whose house was that?
Somebody just did something.
Sawyer!
No, that wasn't Sawyer. I think that was a cat.
Okay.
Yeah, that was something. I think there's a little too much of it. I think loyalty is great, but I think that Vrabel's loyal to a fault. And sometimes they're going to need to bring in some new blood. So, what would the dynamic be like if this is a guy that you used to work for, now he's going to work for you? And I know that happens. That certainly had Dean Pease. It was that happened with that. But is Bill O'Brien the type that can do that? I just don't know.
The type that can do what?
That would be cool with, I used to be your boss. Now you're my boss. So.
But isn't that going to be the case, really, anywhere? Right? I mean, he's
going
to be a head coach.
I'm not ruling out. Like I said.
Right.
We're
going on the premise that he doesn't become a head coach.
Right. I think that he probably could. I think he gets a college job. But that's just – I don't know.
So you think he may be a head coach somewhere next year?
Yeah, in college. I don't think it's the NFL. But I could see him – I'm not saying like Michigan or anything. But I do think he – he had a good run at Penn State. And then went to Houston.
Well, considering what he took over, which
was
at the bottom. Yeah.
Sure. I mean, he had to go through a lot.
It was a mess. But most of his skins on the wall are in the pros.
Yeah. I agree. Now, who's to say that if Josh McDaniels finally leaves New England and takes another head coaching job, wouldn't it make sense for him
I think that ship is already – right? I think it's pretty clear he's – It feels like to me he's the successor.
He's waiting for Bill.
Yeah. I mean, he's had opportunities, and he stays.
Well, and, that's another – Steve Belichick is now the – Al Michaels made that comment last night. He's the de facto DC. Doesn't have the title. So you can tell that there's some things that are starting to change there in New England with that Bill's handing over some of the defensive calls to his son. But I don't know. I don't know if Josh McDaniels would be the right fit there. It depends on the quarterback moving forward. But it's a good thought. I get it. I wouldn't hate it. I think he's a good play caller. Good OC. But I don't know. I don't think it'll happen.
Well, not if he's a head coach somewhere.
No,
yeah,
right.
It won't.
Right, and that's what
I'm not sure.
I think he's going to be a head coach.
I'm not sure what the water is going to be like for Bill O'Brien, but I'm trying to figure out what's the good example of him on the other side of the ball, because that's where I think they, in a perfect world, they would love for Arthur Smith to still be here, and they don't have to worry about that. But I think he's going to get a real opportunity.
I know we got to go, but along those same lines, and this goes against kind of what I said, even though I don't think they cross paths, but if Patricia gets fired – do you bring in Patricia as the DC?
I like him way better as a DC than a head coach.
So do I.
And you get a great supply of pencils.
You do. You do.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure. I would like that. I like that better than the scenario they've got going right now. All right, we'll come back. South Carolina is moving on from Will Muschamp. That happened over the weekend. Where do they turn to next? We do that with Josh Kendall to start the fourth and final hour. Darren Donica Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.